Chapter 15. The data readouts went wild. Then Danny was slammed back into her G-seat as One Ton put them into a tight turn. A stocky brub reptoid from gravity-heavy Barros, One Ton kept the inertial compensators dialed down to 92% because he liked to know when the blast boat shuddered. If someone in the crew got sick or blacked out for a few seconds, that was better than stressing the ancient hull welds. Danny fought to keep the purple out of her vision and strained to watch her display. The readouts continued to dance. It didn't mean she had solved her riddle. Sabasebatine had not even said there was a Yamisk present. But it meant something. The gunners vaporized the skips with a volley of stutter fire from the blast boat's big laser cannons. Then Danny's skin prickled with sudden apprehension. Still, she resisted the temptation to look away from her instruments. The readouts were rising and falling in intermittent surges that looked suspiciously contrived, and Danny would not let herself be distracted. Her fingers began to fly over her control panels, defining sensor sweeps and activating recorders.
Saba, could there be a Yamisk out there?
She still did not look away from her instruments.
Please tell me there's a Yamisk out there.
Oh, yes. There is a Yamisk, no doubt. Saba's tone was distracted, and she did not seem to catch the significance of Danny's question. Speaking into the blast boat's comm unit, she ordered, "Wild Knights, prepare for return to the Jolly Man. Break left on this one's mark."
Danny braced herself. The Jolly Man was not the cramped blast boat in which she was riding, but a fast freighter standing some distance off in a pocket of space dust.
It served the squadron as a mobile base, and to carry the vigilances and howl runners, which had no hyperdrives, into and out of battle.
3, 2, mark.
Danny strained to keep her head turned toward her data screens as One Ton whipped the blast boat around. Several more readouts jumped to life, hovered there an instant, then dropped back to close zero. When the data bars she had been watching answered with a flurry of oscillations, Danny ruled out coincidence. She was seeing a comm code, not some random graviton eddy.
Saba must have felt her excitement through the force, for the bearer bell rasped,
"You have found something, Danny Quee."
"I think so."
The blast boat's hull thrummed as the gunners opened up.
"Gravitic modulation. That's how the Yamisk communicates."
"Ah."
For the bearer bell, it was almost a cry of excitement. Crimson flashes filled the ship interior as plasma balls started to burst against the shields.
"If this one may make a suggestion, you should open a comm feed so your data will not be lost."
Danny tore her eyes away from her data screens. "Sith sabers."
Curving through space to intercept them was what at first looked like an entire ring of asteroids, but which the plasma-burping nodules on the closest monoliths quickly identified as an enemy fleet. She could not believe even the Wild Knights warranted such an effort. Then she realized they did not. For the past few days, the squadron had been working a choke point not far from the gem-mining world of Arcania, ambushing Yuuzhan Vong corvettes as they felt their way out of the war zone. Everyone had assumed these patrols were merely scouting New Republic positions, but now it seemed obvious that they had been clearing an invasion route. Danny did not need a galactic holograph to know that capturing Arcania would put the Yuuzhan Vong close to both the Perlemian trade route and the Hidian Way, and in position to threaten much of the colony's region. She opened the data feed to the Jolly Man, then added an urgent alert for the subspace emergency band. The leading elements of the fleet fired a volley of magma missiles, forcing One Ton to put the blast boat into a stomach-churning series of loops and rolls. Saba ordered him to turn up the inertial compensator so she could stay conscious. The enemy fleet was now so close it looked like one huge spray of Yorick coral. One of the large lumps opened its nose and vomited gretchens, half-meter insects resembling turf hoppers. The blast boat's gunners switched targets, laying a barrage of laser fire in the creature's path. Those things could eat through a titanium hull in seconds. Saba spoke into the comm unit.
"There is our target. The cruiser at the bottom of the formation. Do you see it?
The one on the end? Griff Lidge, pilot of one of the squadron's old T-65 X-wings, calmed.
No, that they will expect,
Saba said.
Three ships in. He is ahead of himself.
Got it, Griff replied. A flurry of comm clicks confirmed everyone else did, too, and Danny sensed the squadron's fear changing to resolve.
Saba said, Glowball in 5, 4.
Izal Waz, an Arcona gunner with a nasty salt habit, stopped firing and drew inward. Though his compound eyes were incapable of distinguishing shapes, their sensitivity to movement made him the best gunner in the squadron. As Saba continued her countdown, those golden eyes grew glassy and distant, like they did during a salt binge, and the veins on his anvil-shaped head popped in concentration.
Mark, Saba said.
A white sphere of illumination engulfed the blast boat. Danny thought, shield overload, but one ton straightened out and they accelerated. When no plasma balls came boiling through the hull, she looked outside and found the squadron camouflaged in a sun-bright orb.
What's this? Danny gasped. You have seen ghost suns?
Saba asked. Perhelions? Of course, Danny said. Sometimes from two suns at once.
It is like that, Saba explained. Izal Waz calls it his glowball. He is using the force to collect light.
Danny eyed Izal with newfound respect. What's it do?
What does it do?
Saba sissed at this.
It hides us. Is that not enough?
Though the sphere had to be a kilometer across, the wild knights were clustered close to the blast boat, a dozen ghostly shapes pooling defenses. Drift's X-wing hung just meters away. Its ion engines were pouring blue efflux into the glowball, feeding the intensity of the general radiance. Plasma balls and magma missiles continued to pour blindly into the glowball, but most missed by a wide margin, and those that came close were defeated by the wild knights' combined defenses.
Does the Jollyman have enough data yet?
Saba asked. Danny checked her instruments. The readouts were dancing like crazy.
This is good stuff, she said. The longer we stay, the better.
Saba's diamond-shaped pupils narrowed.
But do they have enough?
Danny did a quick statistical calculation in her head, then nodded.
We could use a higher significance level, but...
We must train you to fly an A-wing, Danny Quee. The Wild Knights could use someone as crazy as you.
Saba turned and calmed.
Short hoppers, break for the Jolly Man. We'll see you at home.
Shielded by the still-expanding glowball, the squadron's 2 Howl Runners and 3 Vigilances broke for the fast freighter.
Passive sensors, no lasers,
Saba ordered. She turned to Danny and pointed at Izal, who was slumped in a trance at the upper cannon turret.
Change places. The glowball requires his concentration.
Danny eyed the big Arcona, trying to imagine how she was going to move someone more than twice her size without breaking his concentration.
I don't think I can lift him, she said. Maybe you could...
This one could. But she told you to.
Saba glared out of one dark eye.
You are Jedi, Danny Quee. Size matters not.
Danny swallowed. She had been studying the Force for almost 2 years now, but no one seemed able to explain the theory behind it. Even Luke always spoke of feeling and doing, never how or why. And it was still the last solution that came to mind. An impatient tongue began to flicker between Saba's pebbly lips. Danny let out a long, relaxing breath, then pictured the tall Arcona slipping out of his seat and coming to a rest in the one opposite her, then reached out with the Force and made it so. To her relief, Izal settled into the chair as though he had moved himself, and the glowball remained intact. Danny started to climb into the turret as ordered, but Saba caught her by the shoulder and pulled her back down.
"Do you never train, Danny Quee?"
She climbed into the turret.
This one will save us herself. Watch.
Danny did not understand until a moment later, when a volley of magma missiles came streaking in and her heart leapt into her throat. She felt the Y-wing weapon operators reach out and start nudging, and then there was no time for questions. A crimson spiral loomed large. Saba pushed, and it shot past meters above her turret. Someone else redirected a Gretchen, and Danny spent the next eternity watching the Barabel use the Force to push, lift, and turn Yuuzhan Vong missiles. Finally, Saba asked,
"What does your machine say now, Danny Kui? Has the Yamask seen through our ruse?"
Danny stepped over to look at her display. The gravity arrow readouts were dancing.
"Same as before," she reported. "The Yamask seems to be giving orders. Everyone else is quiet. What that means, I have no idea."
Saba bared her needle teeth and sissed in satisfaction.
"It means it thinks it has us."
She dropped out of the turret and motioned Danny back into the gunner's seat.
"Ready all weapons. Back out and drop the block on this one's mark. 3, 2.
Danny barely climbed into the turret before Mark. The cargo door thumped open, expelling a 2-ton square of durasteel, and the blast boat decelerated and slammed her into the transperisteel dome. And she grabbed for the cannon triggers and pushed herself into the firing seat. Outside, the sun-like sphere of the glowball was shrinking away, with a comet's tail of magma missiles, plasma balls, and Gretchens trailing behind. An uproarious rasp erupted from the blast boat's main deck, where Saba stood over the instrument panel, scaly shoulders shaking as the data readouts danced.
"Oh, that got them," she sissed. "That got them good."
A plasma ball erupted against the shields, and Drift's voice came over the comm speaker. "Danny, the hostiles are behind us."
"Sorry."
She spun the turret around to see the Wild Knight's fighters looping up to meet a dozen coral skippers. Pointing more than aiming, she squeezed the triggers and felt the twin laser cannons come to life. Long streaks of crimson stained the starlit darkness, forcing the skips to roll and twist as they descended on the squadron. The blast boat jerked forward, then One Ton announced,
"The cruiser wants to pull our shields. Squadron, form on the blast boat on this one's mark," Saba said. 5.
The blast boat slipped backward, and One Ton reported, "Shields gone."
"To one mark,"
Saba finished. The blast boat accelerated. Danny's laser cannons went wild, catching a coral skipper by sheer chance and reducing it to pebbles. The X-wings and Y-wings looped back to encircle the blast boat, masking the larger ship behind their own shields. "Keep firing, Danny," Drift urged. "You've got our backs." Danny swung the cannons toward the largest lump in the sky, a corvette analog angling down to cut them off, and squeezed the triggers. Her crimson bolts shot straight into its nose and vanished into a black hole. She strafed the hull at full power, back and forth, back and forth. The shielding crews continued to catch her attacks, but the corvette fell behind as its Doven basals diverted to protecting the ship. Danny fired a few more seconds, until the battle drew too close to the enemy cruiser and the corvette and coral skippers broke off. She swung her cannons forward. A mere 200 meters distant, the glow ball was as large as a Class 3 comet, and space beyond was filled by the Yuuzhan Vong cruiser, a lumpy silhouette as big as some moons, spewing plasma and magma into the glow ball. The golden sphere flattened and began to shrink as the enemy shielding crews drew it toward one of their singularities.
"Ready missiles and torpedoes. Spread pattern,"
Saba ordered.
"Hold. Hold."
The glowball distorted into an undulating flower pattern and shrank to the size of Danny's thumbnail.
"Fire all," Saba commanded. "Cancel glowball."
The glowball blinked out of existence. Then Ezol thumped to the deck, exhausted. The Yuuzhan Vong cruiser fell ominously dark as the weapons crews struggled to retrain their weapons. The Wild Knights launched a second, then third volley of concussion missiles and proton torpedoes, and suddenly the darkness ahead was all spiraling ion trails and looping plasma trails.
Darken blast tinting.
Saba used the force to lift Ezol back into his seat, then swung around and strapped him in.
Prepare for concussion impact.
Concussion impact? Danny cried, grabbing her seat restraints. You're ramming it?
Ramming it?
Saba erupted into a fit of sissing, and even One Ton rumbled with laughter.
Danny Kui, you are so crazy.
Then Danny remembered the block. The block the Yuuzhan Vong could not have seen when they grabbed the glowball. The 2 tons of durasteel accelerated to no small percentage of light speed. The energy on impact would be equal to mass multiplied by velocity squared, divided by... Danny was still doing the calculations when space turned white.